Today we have a very special guest on the show. Not only is she the first guest ever, but she also has a truly inspiring story that you need to hear. The ups, the downs, this woman is remarkable at finding the magic in life despite any circumstance. Please give a warm welcome to one of my best friends, the beautiful and wonderful Trina Lane.
Hello.
Well. I'm just going to adjust this here. All right. So, hello.
Hey, what's up? How's it going? You look beautiful as always.
Thank you. I think I should close this door here. Oh, yeah. I realized it's... We are in the tiniest...
literally. Hand-to-hand, touching.
Tiny little room in here. But we've made it work, and it will be sweaty.
I'm not sweating yet, but I don't really sweat. It's kind of strange.
Oh.
She's sweaty, though. She's always sweaty. But, like, in a good way.
How do you know if I'm always sweaty? It's true.
You're a moist lady.
Hey! Nasty. Trina, behave.
Sorry. I digress. All
right. So, we're in the Vancouver Public Library right now, and I rented this booth to kind of test out the space and give the podcast a try, but I didn't realize how tiny the space was going to be.
It's okay. We got this. Like I said, it's a good thing that I'm your first guest because I don't mind being close to you, but...
Yeah.
You know, in the future, it might be good to have, like, at least, like, 1 foot of distance between you and your guest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's very intimate and personal.
It's all good.
So, what's new? How's work?
Yeah, everything's really good. Honestly, I've been busy, but, like, in a fantastic and positive manner. Work is wonderful. I love the salon. Shout out to Citrus Hair Salon in Hamilton, on Hamilton Street in Yaletown. We are eco-friendly. We do the most beautiful freaking hair. Check us out on Yelp. We number one. No, work is
great.
Are
you really?
Yeah. We're actually like one of the top-rated salons in Vancouver.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so that's exciting. I do not do hair. I'm not talented in that way, but I do corral and manage the people who do hair, so it's fantastic. Yeah, work is great. Life is treating me very well. I am feeling amazing. Everything with Mike, my partner, is phenomenal, and in approximately 23 days, we set out for a Costa Rican vacation.
That's going to be amazing.
I know. I'm so excited. I don't know what the hell we're going to do for 20 days in Costa Rica, but maybe like lots of stuff, but maybe nothing at all. So it's
going to
be great.
What side are you going to?
We're flying into San Jose and then we're renting a car and we're just going to drive all over the place. We're probably not going to do too much Caribbean, just from what I've heard. But we're going to just like La Fortuna, which is the volcano that we're going to hike. There is a really incredible place called the Cloud Forest,
I've heard of that.
Monte Verde, and so we're going to do hikes in that. So lots of hikes, lots of hammocks, lots of beach, and hopefully a decent amount of sunshine and maybe some sloths is kind of all I can really hope to get out of this.
I feel like when I think of Costa Rica, that's exactly what I think of: hammocks, beach.
Yes.
Hiking,
yes.
Sloths.
Yes.
Well, that's what, you know, Dan and Claudine, that's what they did. They've been to Costa Rica a few times and they just rent a Jeep and just...
Totally. That's fantastic. Yeah.
I'm going to put my notes on the ground. I can hear the paper. But you can't look at them.
Oh. Sorry.
You can't look.
I won't look.
Oh my gosh. As I was getting here, I like went to get my coffee from Starbucks and... It was hot and it spilled over and I burnt my hand and then it got all over the bottom of my footnotes. And I was like, this feels like something I would do.
Yeah, it's like an episode of Sex in the City without the sex. It's just when Shanti in the city. When Shanti goes to the city.
So Costa Rica, sorry, when are you leaving?
The 26th of October to the 15th of November. So I will be there for my 33rd birthday.
Oh.
Yeah. Pretty excited.
That's going to be good.
Yeah.
I know my 30th is coming up in February, and I was like telling Bronson, I was like, I don't want to be in Canada for my 30th. Like, I want to be somewhere else. Just, I don't know.
You know what? So many women I find especially are really frightened of the number 30. You're leaving your 20s. But if I can be perfectly honest with you, the last few years of my life in my 30s have been the most...
Taking my shoes off. Across my legs.
They have been the most... I've had the most spiritual growth, the most incredible, like, soul awakening as a woman. And I often will chat with other women about this, and they talk about how there's something very real that shifts within us as we approach 30. It usually happens in the 29th year. And I was trying to talk to her about this, my friend Sarah, while she was tattooing me, and she was like, yeah, that's a real thing. There are books written about this transitional period in a woman's life that actually happens during her 29th year. Something opens and connects us to the universe. And it's, I was trying to describe it to so many people that something just shifted in me. And like spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, like everything is changing, and like it's so profound and beautiful. And it's something that I really can't fully describe, but something that you coming into your 30s, I hope that you have that third eye open experience with this deep femme, like incredible connection with the universe. It's so wild how it happens.
See, I kind of know what you're talking about a little bit, because I noticed probably... maybe 6 months ago, I kind of just kept having this feeling like this, like, change. And I kept having this sort of voice tell me, like, the winds of change are coming.
Yes.
And, and I started thinking a lot about my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think especially when you kind of start coming up on 30, you start thinking a lot about kids and marriage
and
career.
Some people do. I don't really think about kids.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're a barren wasteland,
yes.
Trina.
I'm proud of it.
That's okay. You don't have to deal with all the, like, unfun part about being a parent. But I don't know. Whatever. The poopy diapers and all that stuff. I don't think that's appealing for anybody.
Well, I mean, my sister did it 4 times over. She's beautiful and crazy all in one.
Yeah, see, I think there's a certain amount of strength that you get from being a parent, and especially as a mother. Actually, I was kind of telling you about this ceremony that we did this past weekend, and all the guys are like, we did this teepee ceremony. I won't get into any further than that, but all the guys are like, you know, grumbling and like whining with pain, and I just look around at the women, and everyone's just like,
whew. Yeah, oh yeah, there is. women are strong. So strong, are so incredibly strong, and there's just so much that we don't even know about our cycles and hormones, and it's just flipping wild and incredible. Like, just women are beautiful. Lift women up. We are all connected, and we are all incredible and beautiful no matter our shape or size. And I think it's just really important to like have those connections with women, mm-hmm. and just relay positivity to women. I'm so excited for you to come up on your 30s and to experience this real shift. Like you said, you felt it. Mm-hmm. And it is like, it's something that there's literally books written about it.
Interesting. I didn't know that. I could feel it in myself, and but I didn't know it was an actual thing.
Yes. Yeah. That's the craziest thing is like, you feel it in yourself and you're like, something's changing. Something's happening. Something is shifting.
Am I losing my mind?
Yeah,
Am I finding myself?
Totally. Yeah. But then like when you talk to other women, they're just like, yep, totally been there. I feel that. I've experienced that. And that was like really incredible for me, because I was just like, is it like, the time that we live in, or is this something that women experience as women, no mm-hmm. matter what age, you know, no matter what like century we are in. So that's super cool. I'm excited for you to be 30.
I am and I'm not.
I know it's scary, and most most women are afraid of their 30s, but girl, let me tell you, once you get there, it is fantastic. I'm coming up on 33 next month, mm-hmm. and I didn't think I was going to be around this long, and I am so thankful for my health right now, and so thankful that I get to experience these incredibly important years, and I just feel like I'm just bleeding, like, love for people and for life, and it has nothing to do with my ovaries.
See, and that's the thing, that's why I love that, you know, that's incredible perspective, because here I'm like thinking about, you know, my, like, as you start getting 30 wrinkles and stuff. But then for you, I guess that's a good segue into why I wanted to bring you on the show to talk about cystic fibrosis. Because I'm like, I'm thinking about, oh, well, you know, into your 30s, get more confident. I feel like in your 20s, you're just trying to figure things out.
20s are a big fucking mess.
Oh, I know. Like, I feel...
It's 10 years of nonstop pain and learning and growing to be able to come into your 30s with this mass awakening and everything. Just, you feel so much more sure of yourself as a woman. I know, like, so many women... For me, and this is my experience, I remember getting my first gray hair... pretty recently, and I was so excited about it. And, you know, I work in Yale Town, I work in a hair salon, and all these women are covering their grays, and that's totally their prerogative, that's okay. But I was so excited because I never thought that I would be around long enough to experience a gray hair. So I wore it like a little badge of it, just like this one tiny little hair. And I am just so excited to be able to gain more, because those are just things that come with the natural progression of your life, and aging is just part of that. And I think that, you know, if you take really good care of yourself, it's not as scary as you think it's going to be. And I know that you do take really good care of yourself, you know, physically and mentally. It can be a very exciting and beautiful thing. It's just really all about the perspective that you have and how you look at it.
And that's what I wanted to say before we got into talking about CF, was that, you know, you had said about, like, having this opening and this, you know, and once you get into your 30s, but the thing is that I think it depends, because for somebody like you or me, and like any of the friends that I, you know, have, basically the thing that we all have in common is, yes, we've suffered, and yes, we've made mistakes, but it's the point of learning from your mistakes and growing. It's being conscious of it, whereas a lot of people unfortunately blink and they're 30 and they're like still partying, and the thing is that I think for me, I've done my fair share of partying for sure, so I'm not knocking it. But I mean, the thing is that you have to really have a vision for what you want your life to look like and what you want your self to be like. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still consciously working through things about myself that I'm like, oh, that could use a little work. But I think that what I'm looking forward to the most is just also becoming more comfortable with accepting more things about myself. Because I think that we're our own self, our own worst critic, and you can really self-criticize and self-sabotage. There's some things that you should take a look at and be like, ooh, okay, I need to work on that. And there's other things that you should just accept. And that in itself makes you feel so much more free.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think a big part of life and moving forward in general is actively healing from your traumas, from your wounds, from your anxieties and your sadness. And not to say that, you know, I don't have bad days. I do have bad days. Like, you know, I'm a human being, but I have a lot less bad days than I used to. And, you know, living more of a sober lifestyle has really changed that, because having an illness like cystic fibrosis, in 1987, when I was diagnosed at 6 months old, the doctors told my parents I probably didn't have 5 years. And then it was 12 years, and then it was 18 years. And it was just like, it was so heavy to always have this limitation of my life, this expiry date. And I mean, it has recently been shown that 97% of people with a diagnosis of cystic fibrosis suffer from anxiety and depression. And how can you not? You know, like, how can you go through life feeling like a light and happy person when you have this impending, suffering, terrible end? You know, whether it's, you know, 18 or 12 or 30, you know what I mean? So I think one of the big shifts for me was when I just kind of decided that I wasn't going to let a doctor tell me how long I was going to live, and I was just going to do what I wanted to do. And unfortunately, you know, some of that was not the most healthy choices because I wanted to fight the system. I wanted to fight this medical box that I had been stuck in my whole life that I was so uncomfortable in. And I hid my illness for so long because I didn't want people to see me as different or weak. And something that really changed for me when I sobered up, because I coped with my experience by not dealing with it and by numbing myself. And, you know, that goes right along with people who experience trauma in childhood, sexual assault, etc. When I actively decided I needed to heal, and I wanted to change because I was tired of living in this dark pit. So I started making the moves that I needed to in order to start really doing a lot of work and a lot of healing. And it was hard.
Sorry to interrupt. I was going to say, but you are a very different person than, like, back in...
4 years ago?
Yeah, back in Calgary.
Oh, yeah.
When we were... Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Trina and I lived together for a little while back in Calgary days. And, yeah, when you think back, like, even for me, four years ago, it's like... how much your environment changes, mm-hmm. but how much you change and grow.
Absolutely. But that's where it always starts within, right? Yeah. It always starts within. And like I said, a big part of my experience was sobering up, getting off the antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication that I had been diagnosed at 22 after a very, very traumatic sexual assault. And I just remember... I met this guy who ended up being my roommate. His name was Jordan, and he was kind of like this hippy dippy dude, and like he was like really into music, and we got along really well. And I thought he was really cool, and he kind of we kind of had these like deep discussions about love and sex, and he was telling me these experiences that he'd have that is so much to do with connecting souls and love. And I couldn't wrap my head around it. I was just like, no, that's not real. That's not what happens. And it was because, you know, through my first experience of sex being an assault, I was so traumatized for so long. And I, you know, the only way that I could even consider it was being totally obliterated on alcohol or drugs. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me these things, and I remember just something kind of moving within me and being like, I want that. I want that feeling. I want that connection. I want to let go of my trauma and my sadness. I want to let go of this darkness that surrounds sex for me. And so I started getting off my antidepressants, and when I asked my doctor, I said, you know, how do I get off of these? And he said, well, you don't. And
that was the same thing with me when I wanted to get off birth control.
Totally.
My skin was breaking. Well, you remember I tried to get off when we were living in downtown or whatever, and then finally when I went back on, and then I came back out here, it took me a year to get to see an endocrinologist, and he says to me, well, why do you want to get off birth control? And I'm like, because I've been on since I was like 13. Like, I don't want it in my body anymore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you can either take birth control to control your pimples or Accutane. And I was like, oh.
My gosh.
Accutane. So anyways, I just finally ended up.
I mean, that's... the system is so... It's hard. It's really hard. The Western medicine. I'm not knocking it because I wouldn't be here if it were for Western medicine. But at the same time,
it's not the answer for everything.
It isn't. And I'm not telling anyone to go off their meds and that their life will be better. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I was using them to numb myself and to try and use them as a numbing, form of numbing in order to not feel what I felt, in my sadness, in my trauma, in my experience. So it was very difficult. I did not do it properly. I suffered immensely. And in order to try to cope with the intense feelings, like how I described coming off of my antidepressants after being on them for 6 years was like, it felt like all of my skin was gone and all of my nerves were exposed to the outside world.
Oh, yeah.
And every, like, just a breeze would blow in and I'd have a full-blown panic attack. Just someone would laugh and it would hurt. It would physically hurt me.
How long were you on?
So intense. I was on them for over 6 years.
Yeah, see, and you know, somebody was just telling me recently that apparently with antidepressants, like, yeah, it sort of numbs the certain parts of you that are causing, well, not causing, but the certain pieces of you and aspects that need to be numbed because you're having this deep depression and anxiety, but it also numbs everything else. Like, I have a friend,
very much so,
friend who's on antidepressants. She's like, man, what I would kill for an orgasm.
Oh yeah, for sure, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so much of the female orgasm comes from the
mental
state of mind, right?
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all. And then that was also something I was just like, I don't want to be numb anymore. Mm-hmm. So getting off the antidepressants was a big one for me. It took about 8 months before I felt okay again.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I used alcohol to numb myself in lieu of the antidepressants, which of course was so toxic and so freaking bad. And you know, along with cystic fibrosis comes cystic fibrosis related liver disease.
I guess then that would be a good thing. I want to just say, like, can you explain what cystic fibrosis is?
I mean, the gist of it is cystic fibrosis is a genetic disease. So my mom was a carrier, my dad was a carrier, and there's a 50% chance that they would have a child with CF. They didn't know it. You can get tested for it. But my, like, for instance, I have an older sister who's 21 months older than me. She doesn't have CF, but I have CF. It is often reoccurring in families because usually if you are a carrier and you meet another carrier and you don't know, there's a 50% chance you could have a child.
Are a lot of people carriers?
No, it is a rare disease.
Oh.
It is a very rare disease. Not like super duper rare, but like pretty freaking rare. There's a movie called 5 Feet Apart, and I think that that's kind of brought a lot of light to cystic fibrosis and with Cole Sprouse. And it's kind of brought a lot of, kind of shed some light on the disease. So it's been getting a bit of media attention, which is kind of neat because, you know, that just helps people kind of understand more of our experience.
So, like, with cystic fibrosis, what's that like? Like, what are some of the symptoms? Oops, I'm knocking my phone here. What are some of the symptoms and what's that look like for you?
So, cystic fibrosis is basically my body is missing part of a gene. And what happens is I don't create the right sodium level to break down the mucus in my body. So my body creates this super, super, super thick, sticky mucus. It's not a pretty disease, guys. It's just full of gas and all sorts of other icky stuff.
Okay, we're all full of that.
It's true, but it's pretty extreme.
Yeah.
So what happens is the mucus clogs everything. Mm-hmm. It causes exacerbations, which are lung infections, which basically kill the tissue of the lungs. It clogs the, it destroys the pancreas. I have to take digestive enzymes every single time I put anything into my mouth if I want my body to be able to break it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have absorption issues. So in order for my body to absorb the calories and the nutrients that I'm ingesting, I need to take these enzymes to break it down so then it can be absorbed into my body. It is also enlarged heart and...
Enlarged heart?
Mm-hmm, yeah,
oh, I didn't realize
that. Well, the heart is a muscle,
right? You're so loving.
So loving. The heart is a muscle, and so when your body is pushing really, really hard to try to pump blood to it, when you're not getting enough oxygen into your blood, a lot of the times your heart will be enlarged because it's working overtime. So basically... I was diagnosed at 6 months old. I was born a super healthy, chunky little, you know, bouncing baby. And then about 6 months later, I ended up getting an ear infection and I started losing weight rapidly to the point of the doctors telling my mom that if she tried to feed me when my body started digesting the milk, my heart would stop.
Oh my God.
I was so weak. I was living in an incubator. I never crawled as a baby because I was too weak. I was too sick.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I went straight to walking. Yeah, eventually. Aww. Yeah, once I gained up my strength. But with cystic fibrosis, the exacerbations come on often. I have, there's different mutations. I have double delta and a minimal functioning mutation. And then I've got a lot of friends who have the double delta, which is the most common. From my experience, usually people with the double delta are quite a bit sicker.
Okay.
We all experience very similar things, but we also have different severities sort of thing. Some people with CF aren't diagnosed until their 40s, and it's just like digestion problems or it really varies. I'm not going to go too much into, you know, like the super technical side of it, because that is not fun to listen to. But if you are curious, you can always look it up. CF Canada, we are a strong bunch, and part of my experience as opening up in my 30s was taking my disease, and instead of viewing it as something that made me different and made me weak, it was something that made me strong, mm-hmm. and something that made me a warrior, because I have to fight every day extra hard, you know? As people with CF get older, the more and more lung tissue dies from the exacerbations, from the infections,
right.
and eventually the result... result in death or lung transplant. Shout out to Simone, who just got a double lung transplant. Yes, girl. Yes, queen. Yes, guada. She's doing amazing. She's such a fighter. She's 27, and she just got a new pair of lungs, and it is like she went from living on an ECG, and we didn't know if she was going to make it to new lungs, and it is... just
that's
the
amazing.
Biggest blessing. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's the reality of someone with CF.
You could
get a double lung transplant at 22 years old or 16 right. years old, or, you know, it just depends on how fast the disease takes your body.
Right. Well, I remember you saying before, because I remember asking you like what it was like, and you said it's like breathing through a straw.
Yeah. That's
a good way, I think, to like describe to people, because I think I don't think a lot of people know, because I've said before about, mm-hmm. I mean, I've talked to you or talked about you to different people before, and they're like, oh, what is cystic fibrosis? Like,
yeah,
people don't really know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was something. So essentially, if y'all have a straw at home, pick it up and plug your nose and try breathing through it and see how that feels. Essentially, it kind of feels like someone's cut, like you're slowly drowning.
I was going to say, when you said that, I felt like a... like a feeling of panic. That
yeah,
must
exactly.
be so scary.
Yeah, it's a really, really it's pretty slow. So our bodies are so incredible, and so they adapt. You know, they adapt to some of my friends who have under 40% lung function, and they are still working, and they are so incredible. They are total warriors, and that's just like how they live their lives. And you know, they're doing the best that they can. And for me, it's been just a couple days over a year since I got on this drug, this study drug.
Yeah. See, I want to come back
to
that.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that. Yeah.
I'm going to put these up here because you can't really see them down there, but you can't look.
I won't look. I'm not looking.
Not just because there's a coffee stain on it.
Ew, is that coffee? Just kidding, coffee is in my blood every day.
I've actually switched to decaf. This one out here that I got from Starbucks, I asked them to fill 3/4, like, it's just like the little tiny one with coffee and then hot water, because I didn't really have that much and I can feel it.
It's called sacrilege.
Well, you know what? I love coffee, but I was realizing how much it was giving me anxiety.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So,
for sure.
And
you have to be careful with that. I mean, you have to be aware of your body and find out, you know, what helps. Sometimes, there's nothing worse than, like, consuming things that give you anxiety. Alcohol is one of those things. By the way, it's a depressant.
Yeah, see.
So people who suffer from anxiety disorders, after you drink, you will wake up and absolutely find that you have the worst anxiety of your life, and that is why.
You know what? You're totally right about that, because I remember, like, when... that was part of the reason why I had to leave Calgary. I was just, like, towards the end there, I went through a really bad breakup, and lovely Trina took me in, and I remember, well, you remember I was just, well, we don't need to go into the details,
but
I was a fucking mess.
She's a mess.
And, Yeah. Oh, man. You know I'm drunk when I'm high kicking.
You did a lot of high kicking.
I don't know. It's just because when my legs didn't work to walk anymore, I could lean back and kick my legs just to show I was still partying.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. But, you know, what I realized was, I'd never really had an issue with getting blackout drunk and stuff before that. But, mm-hmm. yeah, there was a few times there towards the end I was getting drunk. And I remember there was one other time after that when I moved back home getting really drunk mm-hmm. at a Christmas party. And my girlfriend and I if you do drink, don't let your friends make your drinks when they're wasted.
Oh, yeah.
The two or three times that's ever happened.
Strong.
Oh, yeah. Because they'll just put a little extra in. Then next thing you know, you're drinking turpentine. Anyway, so, yeah, that Christmas party. And my girlfriend and I, we woke up at my place. And there was, like, a box of cake in my room that was smashed.
Oh,
and
man.
All these unanswered questions. And I was like, and then because I couldn't remember what happened, I went through a depression for like a good month of
It's really scary. Your body and your mind really don't like that.
Yeah, well, for about a month after that, I felt so much shame, not because I had done anything really horrible. It was just, I fucking know better than this.
Yeah.
I'm too old for this.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that's kind of your 20s or 40s for doing dumb shit.
Yeah, and I did.
Yada, yada.
And it was some good times. Uh-huh. Like, that's one thing I can always, I don't mind because I can always, I've always been of mind to be like, I want to look back on my life and be like, wow, I can't believe I did that. Not,
mm-hmm. I
wish I had, I never got to do this.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, no, I did that.
Yeah, you don't have the FOMO. You don't have the fear of missing out.
No.
But it's also really important not to... not to regret the things that you did because that's just part of life and those are the experiences mm-hmm. that we have and the best thing that we can do is learn from them.
Yeah, see, well, I ended up having this realization where I was like, and so I just started training really hard, going to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that I needed to make new friends because all the people from back home were all mm-hmm. friends from like high school and I'm like, they're all still doing the same thing. Like,
yeah.
How are you still doing the same thing?
That happens in sometimes.
So anyways, I just... I ended up having this realization that I didn't want to be that person anymore.
Yep.
And so I watched a ton of TED Talks, did mm-hmm. a lot of gym, a lot of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like when I did have a couple of like casual drinks, I still noticed that the next day,
mm-hmm.
My sleep would always be disturbed and I would always wake up with anxiety.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So some mm-hmm. people can drink, and I've said this to people before, and they're like, oh, really? That doesn't happen to me. But
yeah.
For me, it even says in your birthday book that I have to stay away, like people born on my February 9th. Stay away from intoxicants. You're too sensitive.
Oh, yeah.
Sensitive means you're gifted.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with being sensitive. Honestly, a big part of my healing
journey. We're all gifted.
We are. A big part of my healing journey has really been learning about vulnerability. And, you know, so many people think vulnerability, they think weakness, they think shame.
Mm.
And being vulnerable is takes a really, really strong person to be vulnerable. And it's a total superpower, man. Vulnerability is a superpower. If you can be vulnerable, you know, to the people that you care about. I mean, not everyone deserves your vulnerabilities.
It's not safe.
Yeah, that's something you need to mm-hmm. make sure that you protect.
Yeah.
But when you're able to be vulnerable with the people in your life that matter,
mm-hmm.
it is a very beautiful thing, and it's very healing to be vulnerable.
Yeah, I agree.
It's scary as fuck.
It is.
It's also very
scary.
Healing. Yeah, of course it is. Of course
Being
it is.
Vulnerable is scary, mm-hmm. but actually Brené Brown, she writes...
Oh, girl, my girl Brené. I love her so much. She's changed my freaking life.
Yeah, she... Then you know exactly.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
She writes a lot about the difference between like humiliation, embarrassment,
yeah,
shame, vulnerability.
Yeah, she's a shame and vulnerability researcher. And
mm-hmm.
like I said, she has been someone that I've got her audio books, and they're read by her, mm-hmm. and she's got such a great voice.
yeah, I like her accent.
She tells the greatest stories, and they're all just in relation to her experience through vulnerability and shame research, and I highly recommend her. You can get her on iTunes for a couple of bucks, or Audible account, and she's just, like I said, she's totally changed
my life. You making money off Brené Brown?
Oh, man. I will give her money for...
one penny.
I feel like I owe her money because she's so changed my life. She's so bloody brilliant. Like, just incredible mm-hmm. woman. Everyone who is on a healing journey needs to listen to Brené.
Men, too. Men need to, I feel like men need
absolutely.
To come forward.
Of course.
I feel like men need to come forward. And I think also women, too. Like, men need to be men, but we also need to give men the space to... especially in relationships, to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's also really hard for them. I mean, like, you know,
it's
with that talk I gave, just
it's
like...
hard it's hard for anybody.
Yeah, but
it's
I think
hard
it's...
hard for anybody, for sure.
It
but
is. I think it's really extra hard, though, for men, because they're usually raised to be told man up
and
boys don't cry.
That's called toxic masculinity, and that's definitely something that we need to tear down.
Yeah, but I mean, that's also something I... don't want to get into on this podcast because I feel
you brought it up.
no, I'm saying I feel like men still need to be able to be men, and I also think that there's a huge movement going around that's also kind of stripping men of their masculinity, which I don't agree with. So I feel like men, if they were able to be vulnerable and be sensitive and have that space to do that, mm-hmm. there wouldn't. Like, I'm just opposed to the male chauvinistic kind of bravado kind of thing. But I still like a manly man.
Well, I mean...
but a manly man also can be, like, one of the things I find, you know, sexy about a man is them being able to be vulnerable and
course,
to be
absolutely.
Sensitive. Like, yeah. Anyways, that's a whole nother subject.
But I think to be a manly man is to be... a protector mm-hmm. of the people that he cares about. I think that is the sexiest thing. I mm-hmm. think, you know what I mean? I'm not, but I also think that men need to be kind to women and that mm-hmm. They need to be sensitive to mm-hmm. what women have experienced and their traumas because mm-hmm. one out of four has experienced a sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Well, and trauma, and like trauma really, really does mess with the way you view life, yourself, the world, and like I for sure I can you're totally preaching to the choir because I know very much so that like you're different after trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You're not
the same. It changes
you. Yeah, and you definitely need someone who can hold you and be strong and be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, I mean that's something I was going to ask you, like with cystic fibrosis, I know you kind of taught a little bit here about like mental health, but like mm-hmm. for you growing up, like being in, like how much time would you say before you started on the study drug did you spend in the hospital, just to give people an idea?
Oh man, so during an exacerbation, aka a lung infection, it would need to be 2 weeks of IV antibiotics. Of kind of a bunch of different ones, because what happens is the different infections become immune, and so you have to try different antibiotics that are going to fight those different bacterias.
Mm-hmm.
And so that looks like 2 weeks in the hospital with people with CF, because we have such a hard time absorbing calories, and also our body is in a constant state of fighting off infection. It's really hard for us to gain weight. So a high fat diet was always pushed heavily on me. There's a lot of things that I definitely fought against. I'm not really too big on chugging Homo milk, but
I just hate the name of it.
Why? Homogenized.
I know, homogenized milk.
Yes, well. Anyway,
it's like the thickest milk.
It's buttermilk is even thicker, baby.
Oh, actually, that's a little delicacy or treat in India. They put pepper on it. It's like buttered milk with like pepper on it.
Interesting.
And it's served hot.
Okay.
It's actually kind of good. The first time I had it, I was like, ugh. But yeah, it's actually really good.
It's probably just like the Western idea of that, right? Mm-hmm. I would probably say 2 weeks, 2 to 3 times a year. The longest I ever went without an hospitalization was 4 years. And then...
How old were you?
It was in my mid to late 20s. It was that 4 years that I was in Calgary after I lived in Vancouver and then went back to Calgary.
Okay. But, that's when I was there?
Yeah, oh, exactly, okay. Yeah. No, it wasn't 4 years. Sorry. It was probably like closer to 3 or 2. Mm. Yeah, the older that I got, I found the sicker I got. And then summer 2018, basically from May to August, I was in hospital. I ended up moving into a place that was pretty crummy, and I ended up getting holes in my lungs, which caused me to have these really, really bad bleeds.
Let's talk about that. Ooh. Let's tell the world what kind of crap happens in Vancouver over our housing.
Oh man, yeah. So I was so desperate for a place to live when I moved back here, and one of the main things for me not only was be able to afford a place of my own, because I don't really like roommates, but also I have my dog Betty.
Shout out to Betty.
She's pretty blind and deaf, so she'll never hear that.
Or see this.
But, you know, she feels it.
She can smell
putting out that good energy. But, yeah, so when I moved back here in 2015, I was so desperate for a place. I ended up going to check out this one bedroom in this very old house in Mount Pleasant. And it had turned out that the lady who had lived there previously for the last 18 years was a hoarder. And the landlord was kind of a bit of a slumlord, and he was just like, well, you can have it, but you have to clean it out. And I was just like, okay, I'm really determined. I can make anything livable. So
you are good at that.
Thank you. I literally spent all the money that I had calling like Got Junk and like trying to get this place cleaned up. And there was holes in the floor and holes in the roof, and there was a huge, terrible, terrible gas leak in the gas stove. And the gas guy came in and he goes, oh my God. He's like, it's a good thing it's warm because all the windows are open. He's like, you know, if you were to close the windows and this gas leak was going on, he's like, it literally rots your brain.
You go sleep and wake up. Oh my gosh.
Well, the thing is, like, prolonged exposure to natural gas can cause mental illness. And of course, the lady who lived there for 20 years before and the landlord never came in and fixed
really?
Her. Yeah.
See, I didn't know about the gas problem.
Oh yeah, it was a huge problem. And so I think, you know, when I told the landlord about the gas leak and he like thought about the lady who had lived there who had so much mental illness, I mean, a huge part of that could have literally just been the gas leak for 20 years of prolonged exposure.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so it was pretty twisted.
And you told the landlord this?
I did, yeah, I did tell him. Mm. I did tell him. The place was a total, it was a dumpster fire. Like, it was so brutal, but I cleaned it out. I made it my own. I put all my art up. I made the best out of a bad situation. I got a hot plate because the stove didn't work. And then in December, the heat stopped working and I started coughing up blood. I had these holes in my lung tissue.
Why did the heat stop working and why didn't it?
So the landlord was trying desperately to sell the house. Mm-hmm. And he kept telling me like, oh, don't worry. As soon as the new people buy the house, like they'll take care of everything and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right. He gave me a pretty swanky deal on the rent, and it was all I could afford. It was $500 a month.
What?
Yeah.
In Vancouver?
Yeah.
What year was this? 2015?
Yeah.
That's still pretty unheard of.
Of course it is. It was a garbage dump, though. It was like literal dumpster fire all the time. But when the heat got shut off, it was pretty severe, and I remember just like huddling up on top of a bunch of mattresses in my house, like with a heater next to me, and I got so, so, so sick. Mm. So sick. And
he didn't fix it?
Nobody fixed it. The house ended up selling, and the new owners decided that they didn't want to do anything but evict everybody and knock it down. It's on 12th in Ontario. It's still being
there,
rebuilt. Still being rebuilt. Yeah, they gutted it.
Last time I drove past it, it had like boards along the
window. Yeah, so they gutted it, and now they're rebuilding it into this swanky house. But it was really bad. I got really sick.
Renoviction. It happens all the time in Vancouver.
100%.
And now people like me can't afford to live in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Gotta live in the whack. Actually, I like living by the river, but it's still...
It still sucks that you're pushed out of the place that you choose to live because the rent is too high. Someone's gotta give that.
Actually, I was pushed out of the place I was living in because something very similar. I had a silverfish infestation, and I asked my landlord. Yeah, it was like through like my cutlery and like bed. Like it was so gross. And he said he was gonna do something about it, and then he didn't. And then I told him that I had the faucet on the kitchen sink was broken. And like it had just worn out, and I guess like the inside of it had worn out. And I asked him to look at it, and he tried to tell me that I had busted it. And I'm like, it's old, it's worn out. Like, when did you buy it? He's like, oh, these taps will like last 35 years. I'm like, I looked up the brand from Home Depot, and they last like maybe 3 years, something like that. And
terrible.
Yeah. Anyways, and then he told me that I had to replace it, even though in the Landlord and Tenant Act, like, it's up to him to fix that as well.
Of course it is.
Anyways, he served me an eviction notice, and at that point I was just so sick of it, and this other place came up in Chilliwack where I was just like, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
But that happens in Vancouver all the time.
Yeah.
And now
slumlords. There's a broken toilet at the place that I live now, and my landlord told me that. Sorry, I keep touching that with my boot.
Stop touching it.
My landlord was like, oh yeah, we'll take care of it, but I'm going to China and I'll be back in November. I was like, it's a toilet. We need the toilet. So anyway, I ended up having to call emergency plumber, yada, 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 take it off the rent.
Oh yeah, you can do that?
Well, I don't know if I can, but I'm going to withhold that amount so I can be reimbursed, you know what
I mean?
Yeah,
that makes sense. Your place that you're in now is like super cute though.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I love my space.
You're good at making spaces all magical.
Yeah, it is pretty magical, isn't it? I get that a lot actually.
So I was gonna ask you, to come back to CF a little bit here, mm-hmm. you were saying about different friends that you have,
mm-hmm.
and I know I didn't realize until, I mean, I still haven't seen the movie, what is it, Five Feet Apart? Yeah, mm-hmm. haven't seen it yet, but you were explaining to me that apparently, like, you can't, something to do with the proteins or something, you can't be in the same room,
it's the infection, so... CF is a very lonely disease because, whereas most things like cancer survivors or HIV or, mm-hmm. you know, even things like AA, people have a space where they can come together with people who they have similar experiences with, and they can talk about it. They can talk about their experience. It's very healing, a group therapy sort of thing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For people with CF, there's the cross-contamination. If one person has a certain form of staph infection and they give it to another person, it can kill them. So, and that wasn't realized until the late 90s when they actually used to have these CF camps where like all these kids with CF would go to camp and then probably just had the best times of their life. But what ended up happening was one kid had a specific strain of staph, probably Sapacia. They gave it to another kid from contact and the kid died.
Oh.
So it's really lonely. It's really lonely, and I remember approaching my 30s and just feeling really alone and really lost, you know, and trying to deal with all of the traumas and trying to heal, and just kind of being like, is what I'm experiencing normal? Is this how, you know, is this, am I the only one, you know? And so much of healing is really through joint experience, and you can talk about your experiences and relate to one another. And so I ended up through my little sister. She was doing photography on Paul River for this guy. His name is Matt Emig, and he had been doing this really beautiful thing called Zero to Hero Club for people with CF and other diseases, and kind of lifting them up. And he had a clothing company and wanted some photos taken till he was taking photos for him, and found out that he had CF. And she was like, my sister has CF. And she told me about him, and Matt and I were absolutely determined that we had to meet. And so when I went out to visit her, Matt and I went out for dinner, and we made sure that both of us were not carrying any strains that we didn't already carry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we weren't swapping spit or anything like that. And we ended up sitting and talking for 8 hours. And it was the most magical thing to be able to share our experience with one another.
Is that the first time you've ever sat with someone with CF?
Since the separation, no, there was another girl in Calgary that had CF, but her and I had a falling out. She's pretty, she was a wild card. She's in a very dark, dark place. And she ended up really lashing out. And so we separated for my own mental health. But it was the first time in a long time. And Matt is, he's like an honest to God angel on earth. He is such a beautiful soul. And he's so talented, and he's so driven, and he's built his own tiny house from scratch.
And it's
the most beautiful custom tiny house you'd ever seen.
See, I feel like you can do that on the islands, but...
Yeah, well, Pell River's not on the islands. It's on the Sunshine Coast, but he's in Tofino now.
Why do I always think that the Sunshine Coast is...
I don't know. I mean, it's pretty far out. Far out.
You have to take a ferry to get there.
Two ferries to get to Pell River.
That's why it feels like the island.
Yeah, totally. but yeah, so I was able to connect with Matt, and then through Matt, he introduced me to this Facebook group, BCCFers. And so that's how I met Simone, who had the lung transplant, and I was able to meet without meeting these really incredible, strong, beautiful, quirky, wacky people who are like a different sort of family for me. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you're lying in a hospital bed and you're able to like talk to people who know what you're experiencing and like who, oh yeah, like I totally, they gave me that drug and this is what happened to me, these were the side effects. So it was so incredibly helpful. And I, you know, if anyone with cystic fibrosis is listening, please reach out to me. Please reach out to a group that you can talk to, because it's so healing.
How do they reach out to you?
You can get me at TrinaLane_. No, that's wrong. Scratch that. Delete it. Trina_Lane on my Instagram. That's my handle.
TRINA_LANE.
That's correct. Yeah, exactly. Okay. And I have had a couple people reach out. CF News Today on their Instagram, they featured me as their Woman Crush Wednesday ones. And I got to share a bit of my story and also talk about this drug study that I've been on. And so I had a lot of people reach out to me. And I was able to really kind of give hope to new mothers, parents that had just had a little one diagnosed with CF, or, you know, someone who had lost a child with CF, or other people with CF who've never had anyone to talk to. So I really like to keep in touch with those people, and it makes my heart so full to be able to be that person that gets to help them through their experiences by sharing my own. And it's very healing and very helpful. And we can root for each other when we go and take pulmonary function tests. And I can tell them, you know, what's worked for me, how incredible yoga is for breathing and healing and strengthening. That's something that really saved me in my sickest times when I couldn't lift weights and I couldn't exercise. I could barely walk up my stairs. Mm-hmm. Yoga was something that really connected me with what I needed. So if you have CF, please reach out to me. If you know someone with CF, pass on my info. It is so important to have those connections. It is so important and so healing to have that community.
You need a support system.
Yeah, you got to have your support system.
Yeah, I think support system is like one of the number one things for
humans to heal.
We need it.
Yeah, we got to have it. It's connection, right? It's connection. And when it comes to something like CF, like there's really... You can talk about, you know, all sorts of terrible and different illnesses, but unless you have, you know, unless you experience that, what we experience, that's really the only way you can relate. So if you have an illness, find someone who has that illness and be a support for one another, because it is so healing and so important and so empowering.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that my alarm going off? My alarm is going to go off any minute, telling me I have to go and update my parking. It would only let me park for 2 hours.
Yeah, welcome to downtown Vancouver.
Yeah, I'll have to pause it and go out in a minute.
I'm just chug my coffee.
I know, and I'm going to take a washroom break.
Should we do that now?
Yeah, we can go for a few more minutes. I still have a couple minutes. I gave myself like an extra 5 minutes to get down there.
Cool, awesome.
So this study drug that you're on, what's it called?
I have no idea. It is the triple combination from Veritex, which is a huge pharmaceutical company. Boo, but also thank you. Veritex has been working for a very long time to do a lot for people with cystic fibrosis. And I basically was, after a very, very intense stint of continuous hospitalizations last summer 2018, I went away with my partner for a month, and when I came back to do a in-clinic checkup, I was approached by Dr. Kwan at St. Paul's CF Clinic. What's up, Kwan? Love you. And he asked me to be a candidate in this study. And yeah, being in a drug study is scary. Who knows? I could have lost a limb, you know? You never know. But I essentially was like, you know what? What have I got to lose at this point? Like, my health was declining so rapidly, you know, with losing 10% lung function every year, it would have only been like 2 or 3 years before I needed a double lung transplant. So I was like, yeah, I need to do this. I want to give back. I want to be able to do something for the community, for the CF Reachers who have been working towards, you know, curing this deadly disease for so long. So I was screened and I was accepted, and we are fast forwarding to a year later, and it is, listen to this. That is a deep breath. I couldn't do that before. I couldn't walk up my stairs without coughing up blood. It has been so incredible. So incredible. I cross-country skied and I hiked 12 kilometers, and I can lay down at night without coughing up blood. And I've gained 20 pounds, and I have energy and strength and stamina, and it is so incredible. It is so incredible to be able to walk up a hill and take a deep breath, and it gets there, it hits the bottom. You know, it's changed my life. This drug will hopefully be available. It went to the FDA for approval, and it's hopefully going to be available by March 2020 in the States. They're now doing the third stage research for it, and it is the closest thing they've ever had for a cure for cystic fibrosis. I have gained 23% lung function back.
Wow.
It's incredible. And like overall, they're seeing between 10 to 13 to 20% lung function increase, which is just,
that's amazing.
It's insane. It's totally mental. It has been unbelievable. So I take 2 pills in the morning with the food that I eat. And then I take 1 pill at night, 12 hours later. And I feel better than I have in my whole life. And I mean, you've known me, you've visited me in the hospital, you've seen me struggle, you've seen the blood on the ground.
I feel like I'm more upset. I get more. I come in to see you and I'm like, I'm crying. You're like comforting me. I'm like, no.
You know, totally. And like, honestly,
I'm like,
Shanti,
why are you comforting me? I'm like,
it's hard, man. It's hard to watch somebody that you love suffer. And
yeah, it's,
I have been this person for so long. Helpless. It's the only thing that, like, it's so familiar to me, you know what I mean? So for me, coughing up blood and being stuck in a hospital bed is something that I've been experiencing my whole life. So, you know, it's not scary. It's more scary for my family, for my friends, for my partner, Mike, who came into my life when I was very, very sick. And he sat down beside the hospital bed when we were just friends and held my hand and saw me through some pretty nasty kidney surgery, and hasn't left my side since. And it's like, this last year has been so joyful for the both of us, because not only do I get to experience this new life, he gets to experience this new life with me. And he is just the most incredible, loving, kind, nurturing, fucking so smart. I, like, I thank the universe for sending him to me every single day. I feel so privileged to have him in my life. And I'm going to hold on to that one, you know what I mean? Put a ring on it. I'll put a ring on it.
Put a ring on it.
Yeah, so...
Well, you guys have kind of talked about that a little bit.
Oh, of course we have. I'm always nagging him. He just...
it's the Trino way.
He just bought a new girl because he wears a girl. He's missing a tooth, so he's got this gold girl, right? And he was like, I'll get you an engagement grill. And I was like...
Like, fuck, babe.
I'm like, okay, just the bottom one, so you can, like, put it in my mouth, and then I'll have to, like, bite you as I say yes. But anyway, yeah, he's amazing. And so a big part of being on this drug study has been able to have these experiences with him. We have hiked 12-kilometer mountains. And
you've done more hiking than I have.
Yeah. It's something that we really strive to do. Nature is where we find solace, is where we find healing, is where we find moments of reprieve. So,
oh, hang on a second. We've got recording. We were talking about the study drug. I'm just going to get the... Okay. Hang on a minute here. And we are back. Thank you, Vancouver, City of Vancouver, who doesn't allow you to pay for more than 2 hours on your phone, and then you have to run out like a maniac to the street.
Honestly, the parking is a joke. That's why I take the bus. It's also more environmentally friendly.
Yeah, but you want to know something? I actually enjoyed getting the fresh air outside a little bit. That was
it's
really stuffy in here.
Stifling.
Yeah.
I wish I wasn't wearing this oversized sweater dress.
There's a strict no farting policy in here right now.
Sorry. Just kidding. All right.
So we were talking about the study drug that you're on, and now I'm just trying to get myself
situated. Okay. What are you?
I'm good. Okay, here we are. Sweet. So yeah, we were talking about this study drug and how it has changed your life, and now we've one little tap on the microphone here. Trina's got combat boots going on in here.
Combat boots? Are you kidding? These are the vegan Jaden Doc Martens, and they are cool as fuck. They are also about 5 pounds each with their 2-inch platform.
Does that make them a combat boot?
They are a style of combat boot, yes.
Yeah. I don't... Yes. Well... I do not know anything about style boots.
These are these are coveted. These are definitely fashion boots. But
did
I mean,
you get them from a thrift store?
Oh no, I did not.
Really?
I actually paid full price for these because I had been dreaming about them for so long, and I had paid all of my bills, and I went in and they had one pair left in my size, and I was like, "Is that my size? I've never actually tried on Doc Martin." Well. It was my size. And they only took like 3.5 weeks to stop giving me blisters. So now I just have to wear them every day.
So it was like a Cinderella situation.
It was a Cinderella situation.
The slipper fit.
Oh man, the 5-pound slipper. Like, these are no joke.
Yeah, they look pretty serious.
Yeah, but they look super cool. They, like, every outfit I wear, like, they always look like cool as fuck, so.
See, I need something like that. I feel like I've got my boots that are... They've been doing the trick, but they're, like, not really insulated.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had bought those Manitoba Mukluks from when I was living in Calgary, and which obviously work for the dry snow there, but I never get a chance to wear them here.
Yeah.
You're too wet here. That's for the moist comment.
Grow up.
So anyways, you know, aside from the study drug, I think it's worth mentioning, which is one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to have you as a guest on my show. The very first show.
The very first show. Yes. Show.
I was concerned about there being an echo in here, which, by the way, how much can you tell that I drank my coffee in that little period of time?
I'm like, You're all right. You're all right.
I feel like I've got this, like, second wind of energy now.
Oh, man.
Anyways, yeah, I was going to say that's why I wanted to have you on here, is because you have, I think it's not, obviously the study drug is for sure now something that's been life-changing for you, but even before that, you know, your way of looking at life and your appreciation, your gratitude, like, you have a different approach to your life in general and making the most out of it.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, hang on one second here. I just want to address something on this.
What?
I wanted to adjust that slightly.
Okay.
Does that make a difference?
I don't know. Is it better? Am I louder?
I don't know. We adjusted the gain. Mine is on full.
I think it's fine. I'll just make sure that I talk right into the microphone. Eh? Yep. That's
yeah.
Right. That's all right.
See, I didn't realize that, but I'm going to turn mine down slightly. Well, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that made a big difference.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, mine's really down. Yours, look it.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said.
When you talk, it goes
green. Turn yours up.
Oh, I got to turn mine up.
Yeah, I hope that that didn't mess up the first half of our show. I mean, this is a whole...
I'm sure it'll be fine.
This is like a...
Oh, yeah, there you go. Well...
I mean, it's
this is the guinea pig.
Yeah, it's the first one.
You gotta figure it out, right?
We'll see the audio quality once it comes out. But anyways, at least we figured that out during the second half.
Yay! 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 Terrible. Okay, I'm sorry for whoever had to hear that more than once.
I heard it, and I was like, I cannot pass up the opportunity.
Not nay back at me. Yeah, that's... pretty much it.
Anyways, yeah, I'm moving on. I wanted to talk to you. Who was that guy?
Chilling.
Yeah, I know. You can't see the screen out there anymore.
That's good.
Yeah, because that was whatever was going on out there.
What is he doing? The hokey pokey?
Oh, yeah. See on the screen.
The guy is like right.
Oh, yeah. He's talking to somebody else.
Hi. He's so nice. Very, very helpful. Hi. Yeah. Thank you, helpful man. Oh, okay, so anyway, back on track.
Sorry, I was actually distracted by the dinosaur on the screen behind us out there. You can't see it, but anyways. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about, because obviously the ups and the downs with being sick all the time, like, I mean, even for me, like, over the last couple of years since my car accident, like, when you're not feeling well, it is so hard to keep your, like, sense of peace, like when your body isn't well, it's hard to keep a sense of peace. And you know, sometimes when you're having like a really tough day, or if like for me, like when I'm having like really really painful day, I find that my mental health and my mood starts to kind of
deplete.
So I kind of wanted to ask you, I know you had mentioned yoga earlier, which I love yoga for that exact reason, but I wanted to ask you how you go about that.
I do kind of, I kind of make sure that I mentally take note of the things that I'm grateful for, like a gratitude list.
Do you actually write it down or just?
I don't write it down. I just think about it. And I also find that when I'm able to be outside or spend time in nature or just connect with Mother Earth, touch the trees, have like, usually when I'm walking around, I'll have like a leaf in my hand so I can just rub it, kind of like a rubbing stone. Gives me a lot of comfort. And grounds me and reminds me that just because I have pain and that, you know, there in some ways, like, you know, there are days that I'm having a really hard time when it comes to my health, but I always think about the things that I'm grateful for. I have an amazing family who loves me. I have an amazing partner. I've got some really great friends. You know, she like pats herself. She's like, that's me. I'm a good friend. but also thankful for Betty, you know, this little creature
piglet
that I've had in my life for almost 15 years, who has seen me through so many hard times and so much darkness. And so, yeah, I just kind of go through and make a list of things that I'm really grateful for and think about the things that, you know, make life really beautiful. And it's really hard to stay sad, and I really try not to self-loathe. I try not to feel sorry for myself. I know that there are so many people out there that are suffering so much more, and that are, you know, somehow managing to get through the day. And so I just try and
I'm just gonna unhook that there. Hang on a second.
Oh, like this.
Yeah, okay, I could just hear it knocking.
But yeah, I just try and be grateful. I connect with nature. Yoga is really helpful. I talk to my mom or my sisters or someone that can give me like good advice. The rain cloud doesn't hang over my head for too long, because life is too beautiful to not appreciate it. I feel too fortunate to ever feel sorry for myself.
It's a good way to be.
I have a lot to be thankful for. A lot, every day. You know, even before the study drug, like I said, I'm a human being, so there's definitely days that are hard, that I feel low, that I feel sad, that I feel darkness. It's really important. I think one of the most healthy things you can do is share how you're feeling, be vulnerable, share with someone that you're able to be vulnerable with, and tell them your experience and how you're feeling. And I find like that's really therapeutic and really helpful. And you know, my mom, she always has such great advice. She's been through so much.
I love your mom. Yeah. Margie, how's she doing?
She's great.
Yeah,
she's crossed off going to see, oh my gosh, who is it? Barry Manilow or something.
What?
She was telling me, she's like, yeah, a lot of my friends, you know, they're getting sick, you know, the cancer and blah, blah, blah. She's like, I just realized that I got to stop waiting around for a man, and I just got to start crossing things off my bucket list. So I was like, okay. She's like, do you want to come see Elton John with me? And I was like, that's a dream. Like, I'm so devastated. I miss him. I love him so much. He's such a legend. So she wants to do Elton John with me in Vegas. And she's like, I talked to a girlfriend from work because I didn't think you'd want to come see Barry Manilow. So we're going to go see Barry Manilow. And she sent me a screen capture today of tickets that she got for merch for Barry Manilow. So she's doing really good.
It's not unusual.
No, that's Tom Jones.
Oh.
Barry Manilow is like the really bassy, like.
What's one of his songs, Trina?
I don't know. Like, I can't think of it. I just know that. I think he's like one of those, like, you know, like when. Porno comes on, there's like, you know, the like really low bassy. Exactly. That's him. She's doing great. Family's actually looking to move from Calgary to relocate to the island.
Really?
Next year. Yeah, which is like the most exciting
thing
ever.
Like your whole family? Like your...
My sister, her husband is looking at buying a business out there, a landscaping company. And they're looking at buying a house and moving the whole family out to the island.
Amazing.
So it's like just like the most exciting thing ever.
That would be honestly. Well, I mean, I would imagine. Like, is he doing landscaping out there?
He has owned a landscaping company. He bought it when he was 18 years old. Bless his heart. So they do landscaping and snow removal. And the island's really been calling to them for the last few years. Their best friends live there, and every time they go to visit, they just like have the most blissful time. And there's no reason why that can't be there every day.
Well, and you know, I would think that. Does the island really get much snow?
It doesn't get snow.
So.
No.
I don't think so.
And the great thing too, like John is, he loves plants and he loves trees, and he's so all about it. So he's really excited to be able to plant trees and have all sorts of different plants that he never could because they can survive in Calgary.
Well,
so,
yeah.
You know, like the Japanese maple trees and like,
right.
Just
I love Japanese maples.
Yeah, me too. Just like, there's just like, thousands of more species of foliage that can survive out here in this climate in comparison to Calgary. So
what part of the island are they looking at?
Duncan.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Their best friends live there. So
see, that's the thing. I feel like the island, there's still a lot of places that are a lot more affordable that you can you can find versus kind of out here. Everywhere's kind of getting a little more expensive.
Like, BC in general is quite expensive.
Yeah, even into Chilliwack and stuff now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the... Something's going to give, though. Something's going to drop. There's going to be, like, a second recession or something, I've heard, and all the prices are just going to go...
Well, you know what's really interesting was I was watching... Have you ever watched Gaia TV? It's kind of like the spiritual Netflix.
Mm.
Yeah, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Anyways, my girlfriend gave it to me. She's got, like, the password for, like... It's one of her friends has Gaia and doesn't care that she's shared it with like so many people. So there's probably like 20 people watching on his Gaia account.
Well,
I know.
You gotta get it where you can get it. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm still on my mom's Netflix account.
I know. I'm on a girlfriend's Netflix account. I was paying for it, my Netflix, and then I was like, okay, when times got tough, I was like, okay, what's one of the things that needs to go? I was like, well, my Spotify premium. My, oh, that that one killed me more than Netflix.
Hard. Music is healing. Music is everything. So it's really hard to.
They play ads all the time on the regular Spotify, so you don't actually. I don't even listen to it anymore. It's the only thing that's worth it is premium. Mm-hmm. But anyways, the universe is about to shower me. Shower me.
Yes, queen.
Universe. Yes. Manifesting. Absolutely. Anyways, I remember what I was saying because I just got onto the manifesting.
The island, it's more affordable in some ways. Yeah, I'll probably end up out there in the next couple of years for sure.
Yeah, you and Mike were talking about that.
Victoria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Victoria specifically?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, for now.
You have a good girlfriend. I don't know if you've ever met my girlfriend, Dano. She lives out there, and then my
I've heard a lot about her, but I don't know if I actually
met. Shout out to Dano. She's the best. She's awesome. And then Sam, my other, like, bestie. I don't think you've ever met her either. She's out in Cumberland, and they just love it out there.
Nice.
Yeah. Sam, I guess she's got a place. Maybe she's got, like, a roommate, but she's got, like, the forest and more nature around her, and I know.
Yeah, that's definitely what I crave.
Honestly, sure. That's something.
Put me in an A-frame cabin by a little body of water, a stream, or surrounded by the trees, and I will be the most blissfully happy person forever. That's kind of the dream.
I'm the same way. Well, that's something I realize because, like, the place that we're living at right now, like, they have probably put up, I don't know, maybe 1,000 different units around. It's gotten so busy.
Crazy.
And, I was kind of thinking about it because I had, I was out at Cultus Lake house sitting for some friends while they were in Jamaica, and it was so nice because, like, their dog would come and, like, hang out, and we'd sit by, like, the fireplace, and then they have, like, this yard, and I would sit, like, on, like, you'd get, like, a couple hours of, like, sunshine, mm-hmm. like, on a few of the days, and I'd sit there and watch the cedar trees, and I just felt so grounded and mm-hmm. so at peace. And then mm-hmm. going back to my apartment,
yeah,
I got into bed and I was like, ugh, it's like the energy pollution.
Yeah.
Well, it's the energy pollution. And I had this sort of realization about, you know, okay, so the first night I had this realization about, you know, how much they, like, the, with so many people around you, mm-hmm. like, you have sort of the collective hive mind, and mm-hmm. you've got so many people's mm-hmm. minds around you. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of people. So there's, like, this sort of energy pollution. Mm-hmm. And then the next night I got into bed and I had this realization about how much they're excavating and digging up the land. I'm like, now you're disturbing mm-hmm. the land of Mother Earth and mm-hmm. of nature. And mm-hmm. so I just kind of had this realization where I'm, you know, and we moved out there thinking that it would be a lot more quiet, but because of how much they've been developing, mm-hmm. it hasn't been peaceful and quiet. Like, in some ways, I think Shaughnessy was more quiet, other than the alarms and stuff like that from like the, you know, ambulance and stuff driving back and forth from the hospital. But otherwise, like, I would say it was almost more quiet than where we are now.
That's hard.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. I think when you kind of remove yourself from where you are in a city or, like, a busy suburb, and then you take yourself camping, or, like you said, if you go spend, like, you guys spent some time, like, at that log cabin or whatever when you did
Bowen Island.
Yeah.
For our anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have this realization about just being in nature, mm-hmm. how much more peaceful and soft you feel inside, mm-hmm. where as soon as I come into the city.
It's anxiety.
Yeah, as soon as I come into the city, I'm like, feel like my everything just, like, tighten, like, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, definitely. So, I go out to Paul River, visit Talia, and as soon as Mike and I come back, we drive over the landscape bridge, and it's just, like, immediate anxiety. It's mm-hmm. surrounded by it's just the concrete jungle. There's no life. You know, mm-hmm. There's so much going on, but, like, you know, humans are putting out all sorts of different energy, whereas, like, nature's energy is very consistent and healing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough.
Yeah, well, I'm blessed being, like, a 5-minute walk from the river, at mm-hmm. least where I'm at. And, like, you know, you can drive, like, what I love is you can drive anywhere up Chilliwack Lake Road and have fires, and, mm-hmm. like, it's just absolutely gorgeous.
It's nice, you can disconnect out there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but I would just, for me, I'm kind of thinking more along the lines of, like, I want to be somewhere where I can fall asleep and, like, hear the sound of, like, the wind or the rain, and I want to wake up to the sound of birds and nature. Like, that for me is so healing, but mm-hmm. I'm waking up to boop, boop.
I know. I live on 12th. It's
your place is very, very busy.
It's very busy.
The traffic sound.
Yeah.
So, anyways, there was another couple of things I was just going to ask you about.
While you're looking at that, I just wanted to. I brought something for you.
You did?
I did.
Love presents.
So, you know, I'm a big thrifter. I love thrifting. When I thrift, I also purge. So if I buy an item, I have to get rid of an item. That's it. I live in a very small place.
It's a good rule.
It's a great rule. The accumulation is real. So I was going through my closet and taking out a bunch of stuff to donate, and I realized that I never wear this anymore. I was going to donate it, but then you popped into my head because I know that you love this sweater dress. And so I held on to it.
Thank
I took a bag
you.
To donate, and I held on to that knowing that it would be a really wonderful thing to gift
you. Perfect.
So
I've been trying to dress up a little more, sweater dress.
You look beautiful, yeah.
I love this dress. And
yeah, I think it suits you really well.
I tried to buy one similar, but it's not quite the same.
Well, now you have the original, baby. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
We're trying to hugging.
You can see us.
We'll hug proper after. This room is so small.
So small.
Well, thank you. This
You're
is
welcome,
awesome.
Sweetheart. Yeah.
And it's a good
you'll
time.
It's perfect time. It's sweater dress season.
Ooh, I'm going to wear it for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, perfect.
What are you guys doing for Thanksgiving?
I'm trying not to think about the Indigenous genocide, number one, which usually is kind of where my mind goes to the Indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
We are living on their beautiful land, and we have just colonized and done the most horrific things. So on Thanksgiving, I kind of go, that's where I go, my mind goes. So I am thankful for Mother Earth. I'm thankful for the Indigenous people. You know, so when I think about Thanksgiving, that's what I give thanks for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many of them, so much genocide, so much death, and, you know, I could get real dark and deep, but I'm not going to. I'm not really sure about the actual ins and outs of Thanksgiving this year. I usually have a dinner with my uncle, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see.
Where's your dad?
My dad meets me at my uncle's dad's.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's my uncle's, my uncle is my dad's brother, and so usually, there's always, like, a really good feast, and I try not to,
Are you still a vegetarian?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I try really hard not to, bring the impending cloud of what Thanksgiving actually means to me over my family, but at the same time, they fucking need to hear it. They're just a bunch of white people, so... I like to dish that out to them. I think it's important. I think it's important to give thanks to the Creator and give thanks to the Indigenous people over anything. You know, because we took it all. You know.
Yeah.
So, I feel a lot of guilt, and I just try every day to. Be a good person and be the change that I want to see in the world and spread kindness to people and try and make little connections on my way through life, whether it's, you know, just a smile or stopping to help someone who looks lost, making eye contact, you know, and just letting people know that I see them and that they're human. I think we, in the hustle and bustle of life, we get so lost in our own bullshit. And I think that so much of the sickness and the sadness of the downtown east side comes from the lack of human connection. Because people just view those unfortunate souls as obstacles in their way instead of actual human beings.
Well, you know, and like, that's the thing. Like, you look at Vancouver's east side and we've got major mental health problems. Like, the majority of those people are suffering from mental health. I mean, what was it? Riverview? That hospital that they had out there was full, and they literally shut it down
and just
sent everybody out. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. I think that, you know, we've got a mental health crisis, and sometimes I kind of question, like, why that is. And the disconnect from nature, the disconnect from one another, it's huge. And, like, for a lot of people, you know, and, like, Gabor Mate. He's got like amazing work about addiction and the impact that your childhood has on, you know, like drug use and things like that. And, you know, for a lot of people who might not have been privileged in any way at all and grew up in a family that was very broken, very disconnected, mm-hmm. and
yeah, trauma is born into our DNA, so that's what we pass down to our children's mm-hmm. children's children. That's why there's such an epidemic amongst the Indigenous people, because yeah. they have been through so much incredible deep trauma at the hands of the colonists, at the hands of us white people, mm-hmm. and there is a reason for the drug use and the alcohol abuse, and it mm-hmm. is, like I said, trauma is passed down through DNA. It is passed down through child to child to mm-hmm. to mother to child. And also another really interesting thing is, I mean, we are on Indigenous land. This is Vancouver
built entirely on Indigenous
soil.
Oh yeah.
Well,
you remember at my old apartment, I was having like, and this is what I started thinking about, like, I guess Shaughnessy used to all be, or, I mean, it's all unceded territory. And mm-hmm. I didn't even start questioning that until I started having like all those really weird dreams where I'm like dreaming about our apartment being on top of graves. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm waking and I'm having these dreams where, you know, there's nothing but the apartment and graves around us everywhere. And I started, you know, like, why am I dreaming this stuff? Mm-hmm. And then when we started looking into it,
oh, yeah.
and then it's all unceded. And I'm like, this land is friggin' cursed.
It is.
Because of the way that it was taken, mm-hmm. I think
it's
cursed.
I truly believe that Vancouver
is why Vancouver's so unhappy.
One of the saddest and most lonely places in Canada.
But Vancouver, yet the most beautiful. And the best weather.
Yeah, absolutely. But so much of it, I think, has to do with the land.
Yeah, I do, for sure.
And actually, it's really interesting. My friend Jamie was telling me the other day that the entirety of Gastown used to be these, like, sacrificial... the, like, ritualistic grounds for the Indigenous people, and they didn't live there. They didn't put, like, they didn't settle homes there. Mm-hmm. They literally would travel there to do their practices and their ceremonies, and then they would leave. And here we are a couple hundred years later, and it is the downtown east side. It is all of that soil. It is all of that land.
That's crazy.
It is darkness. It is cursed. And
yeah, there's a dark, creepy vibe about Vancouver,
for
sure. Oh,
yeah, I've got goosebumps right now. Like, it just...
Yeah. There's
it is real. When you start looking at the history of the darkness of the genocide and the... I mean, it's wild. It's really...
Well, I remember, like, wild. I remember, like, the day that I went home and I was like, we gotta get out of here. I just remember, like, coming downtown here mm-hmm. and it's like... You know, just it felt like zombies. There's just, it was like a zombie city, you know?
It's a sickness, yeah.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. it's just, I could feel this.
It comes up from the land. I truly do believe that. I think that's why the sickest mm-hmm. people end up congregating there.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I could feel the energy of it, mm-hmm. and I was just like, I gotta get out of here. Like, this is not, you know, like, when I was having this realization, I was like, wow, a year ago, I was like, in India, in the mountains, and like doing yoga on the rooftop and feeling so good and so high and so like in love with life. And then flash forward a year later and I'm just like, this concrete jungle is just suffocating me. Like, I felt like I couldn't breathe when I lived here. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I'd ever move back. There's certain things I miss, but mm-hmm. well, we've only got a few minutes left, so I want to you know, touch on a couple more things.
Sure.
What was it? I actually was thinking of it a few minutes ago, and
you
I was going to ask you something.
You were looking at your paper, and then I gave you the dress, and you got distracted.
Oh, that's
so I'm
right.
Not sure. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask you about your plans for the future. Like, I know you were kind of talking about some travel, and you were talking about possible marriage. Oh, you know, I got to get you to do is your say it with a whistle.
Say what with a whistle.
That's the one.
Shanti. Shanti, you want me to whistle? She loves this shit. She loves this shit. Oh my god.
Yeah, what are your plans for the next few years here?
I mean, I think one of the most important things that people get ahead of themselves. Do I have a long-term plan? No. Mm-hmm. I also That's not something that I've never been like, I'm going to look into the future. I'm going to look, because, you know, part of it is having cystic fibrosis and not really knowing what the future would hold if I had one or not. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that I'm going to live every day to the fullest, and I'm going to make short-term plans and short-term goals, and I'm going to smash those. And as far as the future, traveling to Costa Rica with Mike, we like to do one trip a year. This will be our third trip. So we're really excited about that. We did Thailand in 2017, and then last summer we were able to take our Japanese van that has the backseat turns into a bed. It's super cool.
Oh, that van is so sweet.
Yeah, and we traveled down the Pacific Coastal Highway, and we camped on the beach of Oregon, and we traveled, we hiked the Redwood Forest, and it was pure magic. And we went to San Diego and then back again, which was fantastic. And then this upcoming trip for 2019 is a trip to 20 days in Costa Rica.
So, oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah,
so excited about that.
Is there any other places that you want to travel?
Oh, I want to travel everywhere. I want to see everything.
Would you ever go to India?
India's a tough one for me because...
India's a tough one for most people.
Yeah, totally.
It's a hard country.
I have a lot of desire to be there, but I also, mm-hmm. when it comes to, you know, and I really try not to let my disease restrict me, because then I would never leave the house.
Yeah.
But a huge part of my India not being super high on my list, mm-hmm. is because of... how sick it would possibly make me.
Yeah.
It would be really difficult to be able to, mm-hmm. go there and enjoy myself. Even Thailand was really hard. I ended up getting lung infections. So I, mm-hmm. guess Costa Rica will be, it'll be a great test, since being on the study drug, this is the first trip that I'm, mm-hmm. taking in a really hot and humid climate, which normally I would not thrive in. And so it'll be really great. It'll be kind of a test run. So if I can do Costa Rica, then I would definitely consider India.
The thing is, you can definitely, it just depends on where you go in India. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the thing is, you know, cities are always really polluted and dirty, but if you wanted to go somewhere where the air is really clean and, mm-hmm. fresh, mm-hmm. if you go up into the north, like, I haven't been to the south, but, like, up in the north, like, through Dharamsala, McLeod Ganj, which is, I mean, Mike would probably love it, just because it's, very Buddhist and, ooh, Tibetan, yeah. And if you get up there, you can, depending on when you go, you can sit in on the teachings of the Dalai Lama. And
that'd be incredible. That'd be a dream. He's always got his nose in a book. And the Dalai Lama sitting on the front cover. So.
Well, they've got Vipassana. I mean, they have Vipassana all over the world and all, mm. through India, but they've got Vipassana silent retreats that you can do. They've also got another one called Tushita. So if that was something that you wanted to do, if you wanted to go to a place that isn't so chaotic.
Yeah, I mean,
I love the India chaos, but
I don't like chaos anywhere, and I'm not too keen on sharing my space with billions of people. I like solitude a lot, and so definitely the going to Costa Rica, we're going to be avoiding the cities, we're going to be avoiding the towns. Like, that's not really what we're there for. We're there to experience, to relax, to hike, to see the volcanoes, to
get into some nature.
Mm-hmm, yeah, just submerge ourselves in nature and just like live in hammock for 20 days. I don't really know what the plan is.
Oh, well, so, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
What's
and being
the show
my first
called?
Guest. The Shanti Ma Podcast.
That's how you should introduce it, instead of just "Welcome to the show." Like, what?
I think I did.
You didn't.
Mm, okay. Well, that'll be good for next time.
Yeah.
Wait, you have to say it with the whistle. Introduce my show.
Welcome to the Shanti Ma Podcast.
Well, thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
And
thanks for having me.
No problem. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Love you. Long time.
Love you.
Bye.